Thanks for having me. Our text today is a gospel text. I invite you to stand and actually recite it with me from Matthew chapter 6. I think it's one we know. I think we say it every month. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you. It's amazing. Be seated. We're familiar with this prayer, right? We say it, recite it at least once a month here. And I think, do you find it easy to kind of just say it by rote maybe sometimes rather than really thinking about what we're saying? We can all say it backwards and forwards, just say it. And sometimes not think about what am I asking for when I pray this prayer. Recently I've been reflecting on that. What are we asking for when we ask for the requests of that prayer? And two particular requests at the forefront of the prayer I spent some time thinking about and meditating on. And I want to talk a little bit about those today and really think about what we're asking God for. First of all, when we say, thy kingdom come, What are we asking for? What is God's kingdom? And in what sense do we want it to come? Are we saying, God, get us out of here? Bring your physical reality of your kingdom here on earth where everybody, every knee bows and every tongue confesses that you're Lord. Or is it more than asking for that physical reality of God's reign on earth, which we all anticipate? The kingdom was prophesied throughout the Old Testament. And the final of the prophets, I suppose, John the Baptist, said the kingdom's at hand. And if you think about Jesus' own words, he said in Luke 17, he says to the Pharisees, the kingdom of God is in your midst. And the scripture that Lydia read about Jesus went about preaching the gospel, the good news of the kingdom. It was here. He brought it. It was not inaugurated. The kingdom was not inaugurated in the way that the nation thought it would be, hoped it would be, or even the disciples anticipated. But it was inaugurated. God's inauguration of his kingdom was through the death and resurrection of his son, who was the redeemer and deliverer from our sins, enabling us to live in his kingdom. And remember, as Philippians 2, chapter 2 says, that because of his selfish obedience to God, the Father's will, the plan from the beginning of the foundation of the earth, the Father says, so I have highly exalted him, given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things on earth and things in heaven, things under the earth. And that is, Jesus is the king. The kingdom is here. It's not going to be here. It is, but it is here. It's the now kingdom. Through Jesus, God came into the world to inaugurate this kingdom. And so it's not about a revolution, and it's not about the end of the world. It's about his living presence in our lives right now, his ruling presence in our world here and now. We sang a lot of things about that this morning, that he is here ruling. So what's that kingdom look like? And again, in what sense are we praying for it to come? Actually, even Encyclopedia Britannica got it right. it says, the kingdom of God is the spiritual realm over which God reigns, or the fulfillment of God's will on earth. God's kingdom exists wherever God rules through his people. Pretty good, huh? It matches scripture. Yeah, yes, we do look. We do look for the fulfillment, the culmination of God's kingdom when justice and righteousness and peace and joy reign. We look around the world and maybe we say, even so come, Lord Jesus. But here and now, the kingdom is present in God's people. Colossians 1:13, Lydia read this morning. He delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his Son. We're here. That's where we are now, here and now. And Peter tells us we are a chosen race, a holy nation, to serve him. And it's a prayer then that when we say, your kingdom come, I want to suggest it's not just something once a month or whenever we happen to say the Lord's Prayer that we say, thy kingdom come. But isn't it something that every day we need to be praying? God, bring your kingdom. It's not here the way I know you want it to be, the way we want it to be. Bring your kingdom into us. I had to say that today to him. God, I'm not experiencing the joy and peace right now, this morning, of your kingdom. Come, reign in me. Be here. Bring your reign fully in my life, in the lives of others, in the world. That's what we're asking for as we pray that prayer. And it's asking God to reign in us so that we joyfully want to submit in obedience to his will, and asking his divine reign over everything in my life, my emotions, my desires, my commitments, my activities, my resources, that he reigns in my life and he reigns in the lives of those around me and in the world. The amazing thing is that he's asked that believers, he's given us extraordinary stewardship and mandate to be his representatives of that kingdom, to advance that kingdom in this world. I don't know if you paid attention to this, the Frankie quote that was on the PowerPoint when we came in. He says, we share in God's life by sharing in God's word of bringing about the world that God intends. We share in God's life by sharing in God's work of bringing about the world that God intends. Here, now. And as individuals, certainly, but as the church, and I want to see that, you know, broaden that, that we're commissioned to continue the work of that good news, spreading that good news. As said, Jesus went about spreading the kingdom, then he anointed the 12, right? Gave them that authority, sent them around, likewise sends us as the church. The disciples themselves didn't really get this, even to the end, right? Even after Jesus' death and resurrection and his expounding how all the prophecies pointed to what was going to happen, still Acts 1. So Jesus, are you now are you going to bring to fulfillment? You're going to bring Israel into the kingdom? He said, no. It's not for you to know the Father's time, but you have a task. With the Holy Spirit's guidance, you to go into all the world, or you to, preach the gospel in Jerusalem, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. We are the now and not yet kingdom. In one of his parables, Jesus likened the kingdom to a seed, tiny seed, that grows into a flourishing tree, the kingdom, here. And then he goes on in many of his other parallels, describing the kingdom, not necessarily ultimately, but what it is right now. What's he describing? Faithfulness, stewardship, sowing seeds, caring for people. That's what we in the kingdom are called to do, following Jesus' example. Jesus told his disciples that all authority had been given to him by the Father, and he passed that along to them. They have that authority. But then he went on, he told them, you know, my authority isn't like the Gentile rulers. I came to serve. The upside down kingdom, right? He came to serve. He cared for the poor, the needy, the forgotten, the victims of injustice. He showed them compassion, and that's what he wants us to do as well as we advance his kingdom here on earth. N.T. Wright commented on the Sermon on the Mount, saying that when Jesus wants to advance his kingdom, he doesn't call in the tanks. He commissions and uses the humble, the gentle, the meek, the peacemakers. That's who he calls us to be in his kingdom. And John Calvin said, it's the task of the church to make the invisible kingdom visible. What a high calling that we have in God's kingdom. And of course we do that by daily living out, allowing our lives, allowing him to reign in us. Thy kingdom come in me, reign in me, the kingship of Christ in our lives, in our homes, in our jobs, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in every place that he puts us, and serving others and inviting them into the kingdom. The second request, that the one that follows this, is thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And isn't that really kind of an amplification of the first one? Your kingdom come, reign here, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is not a request simply saying, God, okay, supernaturally do what you're going to do while we passively sit back and wait for you to do that. I really see it almost as a personal commitment as much as a request. God, your will be done on earth in me. Whoa. It's a submission. It's a humble commitment to his will, to take my will, use it for his glory. It's an invitation for him to reign in our lives. Your will be done on earth. And where does that start? Starts with me. It starts with the church. And to allow his glory to work out through us. Think about Jesus' own prayer to the Father. Not my will, but yours be done. That was no passive acquiescence to the Father's plan. That was an agonizing submission of obedience to what God had ordained from the beginning of the world. It was a submission of his will to let an agonizing death that paid for our salvation, that made it possible for, that inaugurated his kingdom, made it possible for us to be in his kingdom. I think sometimes the cadence with which we say the Lord's Prayer kind of hinders our grasping exactly what it's saying. You know how it goes, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, how about we change that just a little bit each time? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you hear the difference? I think sometimes we get that on earth thing tacked on there and, okay, just do your will, but thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what we're asking for. As I reflected on this, I thought, okay, so we want his will done on earth as it is in heaven. So what's the logical question? So how's his will done in heaven? Right? That we're going to reflect. And think about that this week. You'll come up with probably more points than I did, but I thought about three particular things that are really true of God's will being done in heaven. One of them is a complete, joyful submission to the Lordship of Christ. No competing values, no other priorities, no double-mindedness. All of this pales, in fact, not only just pales, it's erased in the presence of Jesus, our Lord, the King. Nothing else but joyful submission. A second thing, of course, is worship. That's all the time. Revelation, worthy art thou, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou didst create all things, and because of thy will they were created. And in chapter 7, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, blessing and glory and honor, wisdom and thanksgiving be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And then the third thing I thought is pretty obvious is that in God's kingdom, in heaven, there's a unified, multi-ethnic, multi-generational multitude worshiping him and in submission to him. So if his will is going to be done on earth, as it is in heaven, it should reflect those characteristics, right? And more. Complete, joyful submission to the Lordship in our lives. Jesus, bring your kingdom, reign in me. Heartfelt worship that glorifies the Lord, and not just when we corporately get together, but in our daily lives. You give and take away, but my heart will choose to say, blessed be your name. That's worship every day as we face what we do in our lives. And then, of course, finally, a concerted effort to bring those from every tribe and nation into the kingdom, part of what we're called to do. Yes, this is an individual thing. We're all called. Here am I, send me, right? But the church is whom God has chosen to represent and be an expression of his will on earth. The body of the church. The second part of the Frankie quote that we had up here. The mission of the church needs to reflect the scope and size of God's intention for the world. Whoa, what a high calling, right? The mission of the church needs to reflect the scope and the size of God's intention on the world. In our prayer matters, there was a percentage or a number of the unreached peoples in the world that we still get to reach out to. I work for TEAM, which is a non-denominational evangelical sending missions agency. We have over 600 global workers in about 50 different countries in the world. I work as a mobilizer. My specific role as a missions coach is to help those who feel God's calling them into some cross-cultural ministry, to help them on that journey to see the realization of that desire and that dream. And so I help them, first of all, determine whether we're a mutual fit, and then help them through application process and everything to be appointed for that role. But one of the first questions I ask an inquirer is, have you talked to your church? Have you talked to your church leader about your desire to serve? TEAM's whole mission is centered around the church, here as senders and abroad. We work with the local church around the world. Because we as a missions agency can provide the logistics, we can provide the placement, we can help them get out there. The local church, we're the ones that know our missionaries. We're the ones that can send them well. We're the ones that can support, encourage, pray for them, because we know them. You know, think about Paul and Barnabas. They didn't say one day, hey, let's go on a missions trip. Right? The Antioch church, through the direction of the Holy Spirit, chose them, commissioned them, prayed for them, sent them, supported them, and when they came back, heard their stories, rejoiced with them, it was an integral relationship between the two of them. The church knows the individuals. The church is able to care for, pray for, support far beyond what any agency, TEAM, or any other agency can do for their missionaries. At Valley Covenant, we have 4 missionary units. And you can name them all, right? Johnny and Allison, Evisme, Joy Dillon, Joel and Krista Martin, who were here last week, and the Azazas, Katie and Julio Azaza in Colombia. And, you know, they are extensions of us. It's not that they're just out there doing their thing. They're extensions of Valley Covenant Church. They're part of us. Three of them actually have roots here. Allison grew up here. Joel and David attended Valley Covenant when they were within our varsity at the University of Oregon initially. The Azazas are connected because we're in the Covenant family, and they're working with the Covenant mission. And it was a joy to have them here for an extended time last summer so we could get to know them a little bit better. Most of us won't go to the mission field probably ourselves overseas, but we can hold the ropes. And that's a phrase that goes way back. William Carey, the father of modern missions, went to India in the early 1800s, was there for 40 years without going back to England, and served the Lord. But before he went, he said to his very good friend, using an analogy from mining, "I will go down if you will hold the ropes." And that's what we're called to do. Hold the ropes for these people. And doing that through prayer, Carey knew he was going into a spiritually dark place. There were going to be multiple challenges, but he needed, and he knew that he depended on his friend and many people in the UK to be holding the ropes for him as he went down. And that's what we get to do. And I encourage us all as a church community to be the rope holders. Please don't say, "Well, yeah, we have the missions, the global missions ministry. They take care of that for us." This is all of us. One of our goals, in fact, as that group is to keep us all really informed so that we know how to pray and how to support those people. So I encourage you to keep on reading those newsletters that they count. Know who these people are and what their needs are so that we can pray for them. Each month, you know, we have a missionary of the month. How about if more than just praying for them Sunday morning and during the official prayer time, that we hang on to this and keep the relevant picture up all month, and as we pass it, say, "Oh yeah, praying for the Azazas this month. I just God encourage them today." There's so many ways that we can do this. Come to our once a month. Come to our missions gathering where we learn, we pray. One thing I found about that is it's helped us learn how to pray for missionaries a little bit more, because we can pray specifically. And maybe you don't know exactly what their needs are. We try to keep the updates on the back boards there for our four missionaries as far as prayer requests, but you can always pray for their encouragement. They get discouraged. It's not all roses, you know. It's not all success. It's not all effectiveness. Pray for them. Encourage for spiritual vitality, for encouragement, for grace, for open doors. Pray for protection, physical health. Pray for their marriages, that their marriages stay strong. Pray for their children, just as this morning Stan prayed for Samuel, who's in Namibia. There, we got it. I always struggle over that. And needs our prayers right now, so do pray for him. All that being said, every one of our four units have said more than once, "We are so thankful and blessed by Valley Covenant Church. We're so grateful for the support of this church." And be encouraged by that. I mean, even just within the last couple of weeks, I've gotten more than one email from Katie Azazas thanking us for praying for William, Julio's brother, who had the accident and was in ICU and then died, and praying for their family. And they were so grateful that we cared for them and that we were praying for them. But remember, too, that when Jesus gave the commission in Acts 1:8, "Will be my witnesses," he didn't start with the uttermost parts of the world. He started with Jerusalem. And, of course, that's logical. He's working out. But let's remember, too, that as his witnesses of the kingdom in our Jerusalem, in Eugene, Springfield, Lane County, that we need to be asking, "God, your will be done on earth. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth. Your will be done in Eugene, Springfield, in Lane County, as it's done in heaven." Jesus told his disciples to seek first the kingdom of God and his all these things would be added to them. And to seek his kingdom is to enter into, submit to his reign in our lives, his reign in our church, participate in serving others and in inviting others into the joy of the kingdom, the reign of the kingdom that we know. We're called as individuals and as the church to daily live that out and invite others in the kingdom. In fact, look at that banner. Can we read that together? We are a family walking with Jesus, seeking the kingdom of God in the valley and the world. To all the world, Eugene and beyond, obedient witnesses in the now and not yet kingdom. God bless.